as I cast about for just the right scripture to pair with Old Turtle and the Broken Truth, it occurred to me that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians knew a little something about what makes the broken truth whole. When we have only a part of the truth about ourselves and others, that's not enough for the world to be healed, or for people to be reconciled to God and to one another. Listen now for what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Listen for his words to that particular church, which is situated in the middle of a cruel world and had some discord even within its own ranks. Listen for what Paul's words to the church at Corinth might have to say about the truth, the whole truth. Listen now for God's word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. I love the story of Old Turtle and the Broken Truth. The truth breaking apart into two pieces when it came to earth, a piece of it glittering, attracting the attention of different creatures, the crow and the other animals. And the crow and the other animals realized that while it was pretty and while it was important, it wasn't whole. So they discarded that shard in search of something more. And then humans found the gleaming shard, one human in particular, and then shared that shard with others. And the shard, of course, you know from the story, if you hung with it, it said, "You are loved." And they held on to that truth tightly. They even went to war over that partial truth, destroying each other and the environment while clinging to that partial truth, grasping at it, not wanting to let it go, not really knowing that it's not the whole truth. I love how the little girl goes to Old Turtle to speak of the pain of the world, the earth being sore, people suffering, battles being fought over and over again, people saying it's always been this way and it will always be this way. And I love how Old Turtle tells the girl about the broken truth, and that the broken truth that the people are fighting over is so close to a great whole truth. And that people need the other part of the truth if the world is to be healed and made whole. And the whole truth is, of course, not only that you are loved, but so are they. The broken truth can only be mended when one person meets another, someone from a different place or with a different face or different ways, and sees and hears herself. Another human being I love that story. I love it for its honesty about human brokenness and for its honesty about the suffering and pain that fighting over a partial truth has caused and still causes. I love Old Turtle for its hope about human possibility. I love Old Turtle for the way it calls to that deep place in us that longs for healing in the world, that aches for an end to war, that feels compassion for those who are mistreated, that wants things to be made right. I love Old Turtle and the broken truth for the way it says that we need to be able to see that all people are loved. All people are loved and loved by God. I don't know, but I think Old Turtle might just have had the Apostle Paul's ear when the former Pharisee from Tarsus was writing the church in Corinth about not regarding anyone from a human point of view and about being reconciled to God and about how God trusted the message of reconciliation to us, calling us to be ambassadors for Christ, God making God's appeal through us. I think the very heart of that appeal, the essence of it, is love. Not just God's love for you and me and us, but for any and all we might consider to be them, and especially the weakest and the most vulnerable. I think that little girl who went to see Old Turtle and then left with another piece of the truth in her pocket began to understand what it means to have God make God's appeal through her. She understood not only that she was loved, she understood that everyone she came in contact with was loved as well. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, yes, Aaron, that is a sweet story and all, but it's a little idealistic, and moreover, when are we going to get down to talking about what's going on in the world and what we can do about it? If you're thinking that's a sweet story and all, but that's just love, 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 and we need something more than that, maybe what we need to think about is the fact that Paul says that we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. That's our job. Ambassadors for love embodied in the world. We live in a world that is not a kind world, a world that's not heading in the right direction. It's a world where hateful words are volleyed back and forth, and if you do not think that goes both ways, then you have not been reading the comments section. I've said it again and again, but why don't I ever internalize it? Never read the comment section. You read the comment section, you see people that you think are on your side being ugly. And not just uncivil or impolite, but ugly. And I guarantee you, you see that on both sides of any issue. We live in a world that is so polarized and polarizing that even to speak of clear injustice and obvious oppression in a pulpit opens you up to being called partisan and political. We live in a world where parents and children fleeing genuine oppression in countries that are not safe for them are still being separated, where many have not been reunited. We live in a world where my college friend and pastor colleague, Felipe Martinez, a longtime United States citizen, has taken to carrying his U.S. passport everywhere he goes, and he lives in Indiana, because ICE raids are happening all the time, and brown people like him are just naturally presumed to be here illegally. Oh God, I wish I didn't have to talk about that. We live in a world where all of us, regardless of our political convictions, feel under siege and at odds, like long-held friendships are fraying. What can you and I do in a world like that? Well, what we can do is do what the Apostle Paul said that Christians ought to do. We ought to be ambassadors of the love that Christ came to embody. That doesn't mean we avoid telling hard truths, but we say those truths in love and compassion. It means waking up every day saying, God is making God's appeal through me today. How might God make God's appeal for what is loving and kind and just and right through me? It means praying and seriously asking myself the question, does God care about this? Does God care about this? Does God care about human beings being spoken of as if they are less than human? Does God care about how poor and marginalized people in our society are treated? Does God care about peace? Peace that's not merely the absence of conflict, but the presence of justice. Does God care about kindness, which is different than being nice and polite? Because anybody who has worked with a passive-aggressive person knows that you can be nice and not really care about the person that you're nice to. To wake up each morning thinking God is making God's appeal to the world through me is to feel in your pocket and find not just your cell phone, but a piece of the truth that you are loved. And to feel in your other pocket and find not just your keys, but the other piece of the truth that so are they. Means that no matter how much you disagree with whoever you consider to be they, no matter how misguided or naive or cruel or whatever you think they may be, they are still God's beloved. Doesn't mean you don't speak. It means you speak in love. To wake up each morning thinking that God is making God's appeal to the world through me has become brave enough to speak up. But it also means being discerning enough to listen in order to understand other people's experiences and to hear their pain and confusion, because I guarantee you we all hurt. This week I had a marvelous privilege, the privilege of speaking at the former Secretary of Defense's interment at Arlington and his memorial service at National Presbyterian. After the service was over, I had people who were Republicans and people who were Democrats coming up to me and saying, thank you. Thank you. Frank Carlucci in addition to being a Secretary of Defense and a National Security Advisor and a member of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, by the way, was also an ambassador. He was the ambassador to Portugal. And the stories I heard about his work as an ambassador was he did the work that an ambassador is meant to do, to speak up on behalf of the country that that ambassador is representing, speaking to. As an ambassador. And we are called to be ambassadors. Ambassadors through whom God is making God's appeal to the world about reconciliation and justice and love. So during our celebrations and concerns time, we're going to send Sarah Sherman on her way for a couple of months. She is on her way to take part in a program called Musicians Without Borders. She's going to be part of this program run by that organization, Musicians Without Borders, to be trained as a community music facilitator. Musicians Without Borders, she wrote to me, is an organization which works in many parts of the world which experience chronic conflict and with populations that have undergone traumatic experiences and with populations that have had those traumatic experiences rob them of their humanity. They're in Palestine and Ireland and Kosovo and Germany and Rwanda, among other places. And Sarah wrote this. Many times when people think of community music and world peace, they think of people standing in a circle singing Kumbaya. I believe she said that peace is much more nuanced than that. It's not a condition that will ever fall finally and absolutely on our societies. There will always be conflict, individual, relational, and institutional, which rears its head. Then what is peace? And how can it possibly continue to be sought in the face of all the conflict we see within us and around us? She says, peace is a way of being, a way of living. It's present. She says, I believe science and art to be almost identical, but as opposed to science, which we can discover and write down as a universal fact to be learned and known and applied, an artistic way of being is a way of deep listening in each unique and present moment. And that's the important work of Musicians Without Borders. Making music together. When you do that, it's important for each person to play their differing, unique parts in order to provide rich harmony. She says, creating music not only gives us skills to listen to each other, but also to express ourselves vulnerably and creatively and to feel heard. I am proud that Sarah is taking part in this program through Musicians Without Borders. It occurs to me that Frank Carlucci was not the only ambassador in our congregation. Sarah is too. And actually, every single one of us has that job. Reach in your pockets, cell phone, keys. You are loved, and so are they. And we can even say that in the week when we celebrate July 4th. In Jesus' name, amen.